Well, good morning and welcome to Lake in Bethel. I'm making this video up ahead. This video is actually being made on Monday morning. We were scheduled to go to New York City this week to watch Jamie run the New York Marathon. And she qualified for it, but it's a lottery system and she was not chosen on the lottery. So we didn't go to New York. But my goal is to eventually make one of these recordings in Central Park in New York City. I'd like to do it right across from the Metropolitan Museum of Art, and I just think that'd be kind of fun, so I'm going to do that. Today we're going to talk about naps and donuts, which is always a fun thing to talk about. You know, sometimes you just need to take a break. 2 weeks ago, on a Sunday night, I was at that point. You know, that was a Saturday night before. I didn't sleep well. There was a number of things going on. And I came in here and did my two services as usual on Sunday morning. And I usually get here about 7:45, and then I leave at 1. And I'm kind of tired because I stand the whole time. I'm always running around talking to everybody and all that. And then that afternoon, I had a funeral service for someone who used to come here and had moved to Florida, but they wanted a funeral service in Houlton, where they were originally from. So I conducted the funeral service at the Houlton Methodist Church and stayed for lunch. Actually had a good time talking with people. And then I got home, and I post these videos on Facebook and YouTube. And by the way, thanks to all of you who faithfully watch them. And after I got done posting the videos, I simply collapsed. Didn't want to talk to anyone. I didn't want to move off the couch. And so I laid there feeling guilty about not getting anything done. But sometimes you just need a nap and a donut. And as you can see on this slide, the big donuts are way better than the small ones. I really wanted a donut, but I was too lazy to get up and go get one. And by then it was about 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, and I figure Wesco would probably be out of the good donuts anyway. You know, donuts and sausage would have been perfect. Now, what I like to do for a pick-me-up sandwich is take two Krispy Kreme donuts, because they're kind of light, you know, they're mostly air, and then I take one of these pre-cooked sausage patties that you can get at Meijer or Walmart, and they take just 1 minute in the microwave. They're ready. I put that on top of one of the Krispy Kremes and put another Krispy Kreme on top of that, smish it down a little bit, and it is a wonderful snack. It's a perfect snack. I went online and I see that there's actually restaurants who offer that, and I kind of figured that would be the case because, you know, I've been to the Iowa State Fair and I've seen how people sell donut sandwiches, and you can see the one on the slide here shows just exactly how those things look. Sometimes you just need to have a horrible treat that way. It's not very healthy, but it's good. What was going on that Sunday night is, well, I had the blues. I had simply run out of gas and just didn't have anything more to offer. And I've always maintained that the blues are the common cold of the soul. They work just like a cold. They come and they go, but we're never fully immune to them. And when they come, it is good to remember that they're temporary, like the common cold. It's also good to remember that God will send relief. When you're spiritually run down and you don't think you can go on, hold on, because it always will get better. It always does get better. God always sends relief. Now, today I want us to observe how this happened to an Old Testament prophet named Elijah. Now, Elijah was a great reformer. He tried to bring a wayward people back to God. The zeal and the fervor that we talked about last Sunday, the dedication of Solomon's temple, had gone. These people were called to be unique. They were called to be compassionate and just and fair and take care of folks and do that kind of thing. But that was gone. Now, Elijah was God's spokesman for that era, and he was doing all he could to fix the situation. But there was 3 years of drought in a row, and they were in their third year of drought. And the people of Israel had absorbed the pagan religions from the surrounding tribes and were starting to offer sacrifices to these pagan gods because they believed the gods were angry. That's why there was a drought. Now, the queen of Israel at the time was a woman named Jezebel, and she was nasty. And she wanted to promote these pagan cults because then she could control the people a little better if she had them in their religion, you know. She thought she could handle them. And so what she wanted to do was kill Elijah and his students. She wanted to kill all the prophets of the Lord, and she tried several times, but she was not successful. And she was married to a fella named Ahab, who was considered one of the most wicked kings in the history of Israel. Elijah decides to have a face-to-face confrontation with Ahab, and that was where it went. Now, Elijah requested a summit between himself and these prophets of Baal. According to the English translations of the Bible, there was 500 prophets of Baal and 450 prophets of the Baal's consort, the fertility goddess by the name of Asherah. Now, 950 false prophets seems like quite a bit, and it may be that something got lost in the translation here. You know, if it was 50 prophets of Baal and 45 prophets of Asherah, that would seem more manageable. But what they did is they went up on a mountain, and they each built an altar. The pagans built one, and Elijah built one. And then what they did is they were going to sacrifice two bulls, a bull on each altar. So they prepared the bull, put him on the altar, and then what they were going to do is pray to their gods. And whichever altar spontaneously combusted, that would be the one that revealed who the real God was. Now, folks, I don't recommend trying this at home. But Elijah, as you remember, had a special connection with God, and God had given him these instructions. So the one that was lit by fire from the sky, that would be the real God. Elijah told the prophets of Baal to go first, and they did. Boy, they danced around their altar. It says they cut themselves. They prayed to Baal fervently. Just try to picture how this all would look. And then Elijah mocked them, it says. And that's the fun part of this passage, translating that from Hebrew. Elijah goes, well, is Baal daydreaming? Do you need to do something more to get his attention? Or maybe he's in the bathroom. Maybe he's relieving himself. Maybe, you know, I would have put in there, maybe Baal's got IBS. Or Elijah goes, is Baal away on vacation? Is he on a trip? Is that why he's not responding to you? Nothing happened. So then they went to Elijah's altar. And Elijah says, let's make this a little more difficult. Now remember, he had this special connection from God. He knew what God was going to do. So he had them drench his altar, the wood and the meat from the bull, with water. Several gallons of water. Then Elijah did a simple prayer asking God to show who he was, and fire flashed down from heaven and burned up Elijah's sacrifice. You can imagine what that must have been like. Well, then, as the narrative says, Elijah executed the prophets of Baal and Asherah. And by today's standard, that seems cruel. But you have to understand that the prophets of Baal and Asherah, the priests of Baal and Asherah, these were baby killers. These were people that demanded that you sacrifice your children on the altar of these gods. These were not nice people. And the death penalty in those days was of course, around, and they didn't see anything wrong with this. You could say that each one of these prophets of Baal probably had been responsible for the murder of several children. So then after this is done, after these prophets are executed, it rains. The drought had ended. Now, Ahab was there, the king. He went home and told Jezebel, the queen, what had happened. And Jezebel, instead of being grateful for the rain, immediately orders that Elijah be caught, captured, and killed. And that's where today's passage starts. This is from 1 Kings 19. When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah: "May the gods strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you have killed them." Elijah was afraid, and he fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life, for I'm no better than my ancestors who have already died." So here's this prophet that's seen these miracles, and he's saying, "I've had enough. I'm done." Now, have you ever felt like that? Have you ever been that exhausted? Have you ever prayed for your own death? Many people have. And then this narrative continues. Then he lay down and slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. That's where it's a biblical thing to occasionally need a nap and some donuts. Now, what was going on with Elijah, you know, is most likely some flatbread that he was eating there. But the principle's the same. So the story continues. Then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, "Get up and eat some more, or the journey ahead of you will be too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. There he came to a cave where he spent the night. So here the angel is saying to him, "Eat some more." And then he travels to Mount Sinai, finds this cave, and sleeps in it. Probably the same cave that Moses was in just prior to getting the Ten Commandments. The story continues, but the Lord said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And Elijah replied, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty. But the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." Elijah is disappointed and angry with God. He's honest with God, tells him that. That's a good example for us, because God can handle our negative statements. He can handle our complaints. And then God continues. He says, "Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there is a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. Very similar to the story about Moses on that mountain. God usually talks to us in a gentle whisper. Usually you can't even hear it with your own ears. He just puts thoughts in your head. When Elijah heard this, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied again, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." Well, that was partly accurate. They were trying to kill him, but they hadn't killed all of the Lord's prophets. He had some distorted, exaggerated thinking that rightfully comes from exhaustion. The people weren't trying to kill him either. The king was, and he was not the only one left. And as the story continues, then the Lord told him, "Go back the same way you came and travel to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be king of Aram. Then anoint Jehu, grandson of Nimshi, to be king of Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from the town of Abel-Meholah, to replace you as my prophet. Anyone who escapes from Hazael will be killed by Jehu, and those who escape Jehu will be killed by Elisha. Yet I will preserve 7,000 others in Israel who have never bowed down to Baal or kissed him." See, God had work for Elijah to do, and the important thing to understand here is that God was still in control. In the end, the people who wanted to connect with God were able to do so. Now, Elijah's imagination went haywire, and that's understandable. Whenever we're in a crisis, that happens, but things are never, never as bad as we think they are. And negative thinking just takes over when we're exhausted. It's at that point, need to have a nap and a donut. Find something to thank God for and thank him. Elijah had seen many miracles. He knew of God's power and protection. He had seen fire from heaven land on his altar. Yet he became an angry pessimist. His spirit later revived, and he became a grateful optimist. And at the end of his ministry, he was taken to heaven in a chariot. He didn't have to go through the normal dying process that we all have to go through. Well, here's the thing, folks. You are not Elijah. But you will get discouraged like Elijah from time to time. Your expectations of life will not always be met. You will not always be happy. Your family's going to disappoint you. People will disappoint you. Your friends will disappoint you. You won't have as much money as you think you should have. You will have endless things that need to be done. You'll see the death of family members and friends. And there are times when you're going to feel overwhelmed. Everything's going to look rotten to you. You remember the Great Recession from late 07 to mid 09? Here at Laketon Bethel, January of 08, giving was down 40%. This addition was not yet paid off. And so we were laying people off staff, and we were cutting programs, and things were not getting better. I was very discouraged. It was January. There were snowstorms all the time. It was so discouraging that I started looking for another job. I didn't think I could do it. Now, you know, before I was a pastor, I was a truck driver. I drove a bus, I drove delivery trucks, I drove semis, but I didn't keep my license up. So I started taking steps to get my CDL, my commercial driver's license, back again. Then I had a phone conversation with an older person, someone who was born during the Great Depression. And he said, you know, no matter how bad it looks now, things are going to look better in the spring. And I thought, you don't know what you're talking about, old man. Well, he was right. They did start looking better in the spring. And we made it through the Great Recession. We got the building paid off. It taught me a significant lesson. And that lesson is that tough times don't last. They didn't last for Elijah, and they won't last for you, and they won't last for me. The blues will pass like a bad cold. So there's two things you can do when you're going through those times. One is find something to thank God for. Find something for which to give him thanks. You'll find it. And when you're done thanking God for what you do have, take a nap and have a donut. You'll feel better. And eventually your situation will improve. You know, we need to look at the big picture. This life with all its problems is very short. And Jesus promises us eternal life with him in paradise. As Rick Warren says, we're going to be spending a lot more time in the next life than we spent in this one. Eternity is a lot more time than this mortal life. So let's look forward to that. Because of Jesus, we're going to be in heaven a lot longer than we are going to be on this earth, and we don't have to worry about recessions or any of the other things that make us miserable in this life. Because of Jesus, we're going to be all right. So let's believe this good news and live in peace. And that concludes what I have to say today. Thank you for watching, for being a part of this, and thank you so much for contributing all this food. It's been a good week, and we'll see you next Sunday, where I'll be back here live.